Thankful that I was raised in the Church of God home by Church of God parents. Thankful for a Church of God mother that we can celebrate on Mother's Day. And which reminds me, I need to call her as soon as service is over. So hopefully I won't forget. It's been an emotional day today. I haven't been able to get my emotions together enough to call her. So, but I'm thankful for the opportunity to be here. Brother Decker caught me in the parking lot this morning after service and said, "Are you going to be here tonight?" I said, "Well, I'm not sure." He said, "Well, I need to know." I said, "Well, I can be." He said, "All right. Well, I'll make sure you're here." That's okay. So, I want to thank the Lord, first of all. When I was, I keep very good records of everything on the computer. And as I was getting ready to get into my tablet, which I'm not an Apple fan, so if anybody's an Apple fan, I'm sorry. But my wife got me an iPad a couple years ago, and I just use it only to preach from. That's it. I don't know how to use it very well. I do everything on my computer, which is not an Apple, and it just saves, and I can read it off of my tablet, which could be any tablet. But anyway, I was getting ready to study tonight, and all the records that I keep very, very close tabs on, I deleted with one button. And I was sick. The title of my file that I deleted is "All the Messages Brother Allen Has Preached Since 2006. Yes, I was sick. And I told Brother Donald, I said, "Oh no, what am I going to do? I need you to help me find this file." So after service started, he came back to the back and helped me. He Googled and found a way to at least get me the way in back into that. So I want to thank the Lord for that. Thank the Lord for Brother Donald helping me. But I appreciate the Lord helping me, because that was just made me sick. So thank the Lord for that. All right, now let's get back. Let's get in the message. So, that had nothing to do with the message, by the way. That was just a little bit of thanks. The song that me and my daughter and I requisitioned Sister Kelly to sing with us, by the way, if you can sing at all, "And I Have Need of You," it's just like when Jesus sent the disciples and said, "The Master hath need," you might be called it sometime, so just be ready. Okay, thank you, Sister Kelly. Thank you, Sister Whitney. I've called on her many times, and different ones, thank you. Just be ready, though. Brother Johnny, I called on him a couple weeks ago, and he done a real good job. But the song we sang said he didn't throw the clay away. Well, I'm so glad. I am so glad. Because every one of us have made a mess a few times. Let me show of hands. Anybody ever done pottery at all? Right? You got that big old sloppy goo on that wheel, and it's trying to spin around, and you're trying to figure out how to make that thing into a vase or even just a ball. And it's just a sloppy mess, right? And you finally get it like almost a little bit of a bowl, and all of a sudden it catches and it's all over the place. And it's frustrating, right? And what do you do with that? You don't just fling it off and throw it in the trash. No, you wad it back up and you start all over again, right? That's what we do. That's the common sense thing to do. But a lot of times people think that God's gonna just throw you away. Well, sometimes things get a little messy, but he don't throw you away. He just gets you back in shape and starts working on you again, right? I was looking up the definition of clay. Webster's dictionary says, the name of certain substances which are mixtures of silex and alumen, sometimes with lime, magnesia, alkali, and metallic oxides. Doesn't sound like a lot of interesting information. I'm going to skip all the rest of that because it's a lot of big words that don't really serve a purpose, really. Okay. That's definition one. Definition two, in pottery, in sculpture, earth in general. That's definition two. Definition three, in scripture, clay is used to express frailty, liableness to decay and destruction. If you look in Easton's Bible Dictionary, it says the word is used of sediment found in pits or in streets. And it gives reference of Isaiah, the 57th chapter, verse 20, and Jeremiah 38 and 60. It also gives a reference of dust that is mixed with spittle in John, the 9th chapter, verse 6. The potter's clay in Isaiah 41 and 25, Nahum 3 and 14, Jeremiah 8, 1 through 6, Romans 9 and 21. We could go on and on and on. But there's lots and lots and lots and lots of scriptures in the Bible that talk about clay. Talks about it in lots of different ways. It's a commonly used reference in the Bible for different expressions and different reasons. And tonight we're going to look at the definition used in Isaiah, the 64th chapter. Isaiah 64 and verse number 8. Isaiah 64, verse number 8. And it says, but now, O Lord, thou art our Father, we are the clay, thou art our potter, and we are the work of thy hand. In this scripture, we're likened to the clay and God as the potter. What this is referring to is how the potter takes a piece of unformed clay and molds it, shapes it, makes it into something useful, a vessel that can be used for his glory. A lump of clay doesn't really have a lot of value, just as a lump of clay. And as a lump of clay, we don't really have a whole lot of real value. It's just a lump of clay. But when God gets a hold of us and he starts changing us, we can become useful, a vessel of honor, something that is useful, something that God can use as something that's a vessel. Something that has merit, something that, you know, when I worked for Longa Burger for a long time, and one of the things that was, one of the things that we tried to have the baskets to have value was we had to have a product that had a purpose. If it didn't have a purpose, if it wasn't useful, you couldn't use it for something, it was kind of a pointless product to have, and it wouldn't sell. That was one of the biggest selling points when I worked at Longa Burger, was to get them to make a product that was a product that you could use for something. Something to, like a picnic basket, right? Or a hamper, right? Or a laundry basket. These were things that made sense, right? When they made these little baskets that like a hot dog basket. What are you going to do? Really? You're going to put a hot dog in a basket? Didn't make a whole lot of sense, but they made it. But they didn't sell a whole lot, right? Right? But we need to be a vessel that is useful. Useful, right? We want to be a vessel that has a purpose. A vessel that's going to be something that is useful for God. And right, that's kind of the whole point of being, is we want to be useful for God. Jeremiah, the 18th chapter. Jeremiah 18 and verse number 6. Jeremiah 18 and 6 says, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in mine, O house of Israel. We need to be on the hand of God as a potter and allow God the potter to do with us as he sees best. As he sees best. We need to rely on his wisdom, his plan for our life. His plan. We don't need to put our opinion into God's plan. Something I've been hearing a lot lately, and I guess it's kind of a real hot button for me right now, especially with teenagers, is they need to find their way. No, they don't. They need to follow God's plan. They don't need to find their way. They need to follow God's plan. God has a plan. They need to find God's way. They need to find God's plan. They don't need to find their way, because when they find their way, they're going to mess it up. It's a hot button for me right now, for sure. Finding their own way. That's the wrong thing. They don't need to find their own way, right? When we find our own way, what happens? What's the scripture say? We're finding our own way, we go astray, right? We go our own way, we go astray. We need to find God's way. He has a plan. I've never yet seen a piece of clay on a wheel tell the potter, no, I don't think that's what I want you to make me into being. You know, I think I'd rather be a bowl, not a vase. No, you be what the potter wants you to be. Be something that's necessary, that's needed. The potter might say, I've already got 500 vases. I don't need another vase. I need a bowl. He knows what he needs. He knows what you'd be best at. He knows what plan is best for you. He knows what makeup your piece of clay is. He knows what's going to suit you the very best. He knows your individual makeup. Right? And everybody's individual makeup is just a little bit different. Things that might bother you may not bother me at all. Or things that bother me might not bother you at all. Right? Things that might cause one piece of clay to explode might cause not bother another piece of clay at all. And God knows that. God knows that. We need to be as the clay. It does not have a say in its purpose and how the potter chooses to use it and what the potter makes of it. Isaiah, the 45th chapter. Isaiah 45, verse number 9. Isaiah 45, verse number 9 says, Woe unto him that striveth with his maker. Let the potsherd strive with the potsherds of the earth. Shall the clay say unto him that fashioneth it, What makest thou? Or thy work, he hath no hands. This scripture pronounces a woe or a curse on one that striveth or argueth with the potter, right? It also implies that you should not question the potter. We're God's handiwork. and we should bring glory and praise to our Maker. We should bring glory and praise. Isaiah 64, Isaiah 64, verse number 8. Isaiah 64 and 8 says, "But now, O Lord, thou art our Father. We are the clay, and thou art potter, and we all are the work of thy hand." Sometimes when a potter is making a vessel, it has to be remade. We've already said this, but he doesn't just throw it away. Sometimes he has to start over. A lot of times he has to start over because of imperfections, impurities. Sometimes he's got that piece and he's working it and he realizes there's a piece in here that if I keep working on this, and when I get ready to put it in the kiln, as soon as I turn up the heat, it's going to explode. As soon as the heat hits this, it's going to explode. I've got to rework this and I've got to get this impurity out of here. There's a problem with this piece. There's a problem with this clay. If I don't get this impurity out, if I don't get this imperfection out, when the heat hits it, it's going to explode. And a lot of times in our lives, he's working us, and he realizes, okay, we've got a problem here. We need to fix this problem. And that problem could be all kinds of things. It could be all kinds of things. And God knows what each person may have. That problem could be anything. But instead of trying to just cover it up and keep working it in, he stops and says, I need to get that piece taken care of. I need to dig that piece of imperfection out. Because if I don't, it's going to cause the piece to be of no value, right? And when God starts digging around us and pointing something out in our life that we may not think is a big deal, sometimes it hurts. Sometimes we feel like, well, why is the pastor pointing his finger at me? Why is he poking around at me? Because there's a problem. We're trying to get that problem taken care of so that it doesn't cause an explosion later, right? We don't need explosions, right? God sees the big picture. He sees the big picture. Jeremiah, the 18th chapter. Jesus doesn't throw that clay away. He keeps working on it. He doesn't give up. A lot of times people would like to give up. They would like God to just leave them be. You know what? You know, I've decided that I just want to do my own thing. Just leave me alone. I'm tired of being worked on. I'm tired of you pointing out my flaws. I'm tired of you pointing out my flaws. Well, that's the job of the potter. The job of the potter is to get all the flaws out so that he has a perfect piece. Right? What's the Bible saying? I believe it's Ephesians. It says he appoints apostles, prophets, teachers for the perfecting of the saints. Right? And that's what a potter does. He's perfecting that piece. Right? And he has to keep working it, digging at it, and twisting it around, and working at it, and all right, that's not looking the best. We need to rework that piece. Right? Jeremiah 18, verse number 4 says, "And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to make it." God will make you into a vessel that is good, even if he has to do it over again. Over again. Right? Even if he has to do it over again. We just need to trust that God knows what he's doing. A lot of times we just push back. If you thought about it in the real sense of a piece of clay, we would think, well, that's silliness. A piece of clay can't push back. But we try it. Well, it's just as silly. God's our creator. Why do we push back? That's just as silly. We shouldn't be pushing back, right? Romans, the 9th chapter. Romans 9. Verse number 21 says, hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel into honor and another vessel unto dishonor? We want to be made a vessel of honor. In reality, in the real world, a potter can make whatever he wants to make out of a vessel. Spiritually, we have a choice. Spiritually, we have a choice. Spiritually, it's not quite exactly like the potter in the clay, spiritually, because we have the ability to tell the potter, you know, I don't want to do that. Because we have choice. That's the situation that gets us all in a little bit of trouble here now. But we need to be willing to let God mold us into what he desires. If we allow him to mold us into what he desires, we will be a vessel of honor every time. He has a 100% success rate. That's a good rate. 100% success rate. It's up to us. Are we going to allow the potter to have his way? Are we going to allow the potter to have his way? Or are we going to have our way? Our will needs to be sacrificed, right? Our will needs to be sacrificed. Brother Kilfoyle sings a song. It says, change my heart. Change my heart, O God. Make it ever true. You're the potter, I'm the clay. Mold me and make me. This is what I pray. Change my heart, O God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, O God. May I be like you. Amen. We're to be a reflection of Jesus Christ. A reflection of Jesus Christ. I was talking to Brother Fred last night, and I was telling him, you know, we're to be a reflection of Christ everywhere we go. If we're going to be a useful vessel, we better be a reflection of Jesus wherever we go. One of the brothers in our congregation, someone that works with him, told him one time, and this has stuck with me ever since he brought this out. They told him, you are the only one from your church that I know. As far as I'm concerned, you are your church. And I thought, wow, that's pretty incredible. Because everything that they see out of his life is what they consider our church to stand for. Everything. The way he handles situations, the way that he approaches situations, the way that he acts towards people, the way that he communicates. And I tell you what, I think about that almost every day. when people look at me, am I showing them a good representation of Jesus Christ? Am I showing them a good representation of what the potter has made? And is it a good looking specimen? Is it a good vessel? Is this something that the potter is proud of? Right? I remember when we was kids and we made that first little, I think they called it a pinch pot. I think we just took four little or five little pieces of clay and we pinched the sides of it together. Made a little square box and put it in the kiln and painted it and put it back in the kiln and took it home to our mom. We were so proud of that thing. And those things were not square at all. They looked horrible. But we were so proud of that thing. We want God to be proud of us. I mean, we were what, in kindergarten, first grade? They looked awful. I think I still have mine. I have all my little pins, that I, little awards that I got for things. I've stuck them in there through the years. But they looked horrible, but I was proud of that thing. I was proud of it. And we need to be living in such a way that God is proud of us. So that when someone looks at us, they can say, yeah, that's one of the pieces of pottery that go to my church. I'm proud of that one. Right? That's what I want to be. Each one of us go through situations and the thought that came to me, I guess the strongest, was that God's not going to destroy us because things are not turning out the way that we think they should. Things are not working out the way that we had planned. Things are not always working out the way that that vase that we're working on is starting to look like this instead of being nice and straight. God doesn't just say, all right, I'm done with that. He might just say, you know what? I'll just make that into a saucer. He'll just use it for something else. We never know, but he doesn't throw it away. He didn't throw it away. He might repurpose us for something totally different. He might repurpose us. We don't know. He doesn't throw it away, but we're the clay. He's the potter. Let him have his way. Let him be the one that's in charge. We got to let him, right? Let is a verb that requires our will, right? It's a verb that requires our will. We have to allow it to happen, right? If I let Brother Jeremy come up here and take my Bible, that means I have to give him permission to come up and take it. Then when he comes up to take it, I have to allow him to take it out of my hands. I wouldn't mind because he has the exact same one. I'd probably just switch him. I borrowed his before when I needed to preach and I didn't have my Bible. But let, right? We need to let him have his way. Let him have his way. Let him be the potter. Let him do his job, right? That's what his job is to be the potter. And if we don't allow him, there's nothing more frustrating than being ready and willing to help someone and them doing this. Oh, I don't need your help. Oh, I got this. And you're watching them make a mess, right? And you know that you could easily just help them. Here, let me help you. No, I got it. And they're just making a mess. And that's what a lot of times God sees happening in our lives, is we're making a mess out of things. And God's like, I'd love to help you. Just all you gotta do is ask, right? Allow Jesus to be the potter and allow him to take control of our life. And he'll be glad to do it.